No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. We are Pets Health is Our Business. And we're friends like my friend, Dr. Judy Jasek, a true holistic vet, here to help you help your pet. Well, she doesn't let friends feed kibble. How are you?
Doing great, y'all.
You're getting a new puppy coming up. You're getting a new puppy, and that's very exciting. It's going to happen this weekend, or actually, what day is this?
Today's Tuesday, so it's going to happen tomorrow. Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's going to happen.
Today's Wednesday. Sorry.
Today's Wednesday. We record on Tuesdays just to be transparent, and then it comes out on Wednesdays. So some days we get our days confused.
And you know, very often I don't know what day of the week it is.
Right?
It's very confusing. Yes.
You know what? Because you got your chickens. Guess what I got? I got 12 eggs yesterday from Becca from her chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, make sure that you scrub these, right, before you eat these, because they have their bloom on them, right? Yeah. Is that right?
I don't wash mine before we
You do. Don't? You don't worry about that bacteria, Dr. Jasek?
Bacteria is good, Dee Dee. We need bacteria.
Man, that's one that is still so difficult for people, right? Even naturopaths. Right? They'll say things and I'm just like, what? You know, but as I've said, I just try not to argue with some people, but I would like to impart, you know, more information that we take on, you and I, and we're constantly looking at this stuff. But wouldn't you say, Dr. Jasek, if the body is healthy, if the terrain is healthy, whether that is in people or pets, that these things that we are so afraid of and that we're taking all these medications for aren't really a thing.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably true.
I mean,
I'd probably go out and take care of the chickens and probably come in and, you know, I'll be outside working in the, you know, take care of the chickens, go work in the garden and come in and grab a snack. And I bet I don't wash my hands every time. Shh, don't tell my mom.
You know, think about this. You know, everybody's like washing their hands after they use the restroom. And I get it. Because they say, oh, you can get hepatitis, right? What is that? Is that like fecal matter on food or what is that thing where they say salmonella, right?
Yeah. Salmonella, bad stuff. But I don't know, like, you know, if it's stuff coming out of your body, your pee and poop, like if you ingested it and put it back in there, it was already in there. Like, is it really going to cause a problem? I don't know.
You know, there's some urine therapy out there, right?
And I've done that.
You drank your own pee. How was that?
It's a little tough to do. I mean, I did it because I looked at Amanda Vollmer and, you know, so there were some other people that were doing it. And, you know, I tried it, but yeah, it was a little hard to get into. I did it. I could say I did it, but I didn't continue doing it. It's a little weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird.
It tastes like warm salt water.
Is that
like,
okay? Okay.
It doesn't like taste awful or anything.
It's the idea behind it.
Well, plus it's like, you know, I always look at, so what's natural? What happens in nature? You know, is it really natural to drink our own pee? Maybe for certain health conditions, maybe that was like an old therapy. Maybe if you were ill, maybe drinking your pee would be a therapy, but like on an ongoing basis, is that really like a natural therapy to drink? It seems like the body's moving it out for a reason to really right. be putting it back in. I don't know. I couldn't really get into it. I do coffee enemas though.
I know. I hope you don't pay a whole bunch for that coffee that's going up your rectum.
Well, it's a special coffee. It's probably, I don't know how much it is per pound. It's rectum coffee. It's but you only use like 2 tablespoons, you know, and do it once a week. So it lasts quite a long time.
Nice. So we are going to, I do want to address some comments that people have made on the rabies vaccine that you've talked about, also on the rabies webinar. People are loving it. They're getting great information that they didn't know. Okay. Good. And that maybe even their vets don't know. Imagine that.
Ugh, that's so hard to believe.
But I heard this one just today as we got on the podcast. And this is a long-term raw feeder. This is somebody who's, you know, understands that you want to keep toxins out of the body, right? Because you can't put poisons in and expect to be healthy. I'm not sure why that's hard to understand. But we hear this a lot, Dr. Jasek, and I don't know a subtle way to address this. But here is what the statement was. Now, this is on a post that says conclusions on rabies vaccine mandates. This is coming from us and you. And this is coming from one of your slides. And the slide says conclusions. Okay. This is, you guys, you can find the whole rabies webinar on our Rumble channel. Okay. That's Raw Dog Food and Company. Okay. But it says conclusions. They are using intimidation and bullying to push an unfounded agenda. This is from Dr. Jasek. Don't be intimidated and let the power of the truth inspire and guide you. This is one of the conclusions that you had at the end of the rabies webinar. Now, this is a response from one of our customers who I adore, and I think she's fabulous. But we hear this a lot. And she says, you can't bring your dog to a doggy daycare without shots, especially rabies. I really don't feel like I have a choice to somebody else, but rabies exist. Okay, well, you can say that all you want. But here's what I said. Don't go to a daycare.
You have a choice. I mean, there are choices. Our daycare is great for socialization, get your dog out, you know, when you're busy and they get to go play with other dogs. Yeah. But if you really want to protect your dog from rabies, then you have to, you know, find something else. Maybe you start a little play group in your neighborhood and you can find a, you know, teenager to babysit the dogs or something, get them together, you know, maybe look for other options. Just like, you know, people that didn't want to get COVID vaccines for their kids, lots of people pulled their kids out of school and figured out how to homeschool. So the choices might not be convenient, but it is still a choice. And sometimes you just have to stop patronizing the businesses that are requiring it.
Well, let's say it another way. Not what you just said, but let's say it another way. If you were to say, I don't have a choice. What you really want to say, if you want to be truthful with yourself, is I want my dog to go to doggy daycare. They require rabies. Therefore, I want my dog to go to doggy daycare more than I don't want them to have a rabies shot.
Exactly true. Exactly true. Same with travel. I hear that a lot from people. Well, I just have to travel with my pet and they want to travel on an airplane. People want to travel internationally with their pet. People are moving internationally. I have no workaround for that because I don't know how to transport a pet internationally without proof of a rabies vaccine. So then you make that choice. It's exactly what you said. That choice to move or that choice to travel with my pet is more important to me than not getting the rabies vaccine. So it's your choice, but it's not a have to. It's still, you still have the choice. Just, you know, might cramp your style or might be a little inconvenient to make choices that don't require your dog to have a rabies shot.
Right. Or you want this so-called protection from the boogeyman rabies. However, you don't want the effects of it, right? Itchy skin, neurological problems, but everything that we see, okay? And we get that. But you have to understand that there are effects, whether you want them or not, whether you have think you have to do it or not. That does not remove the effects.
Right. Like, I have that conversation all the time. You know, go back in vaccine history and we have itchy skin started after a round of vaccines. And I hear the, well, I had to. Okay. You feel like you had to. Your dog's still itching because of the vaccines. Doesn't change that.
Right. So this is the type, this is what I find is so needed, right? The thinking has got to shift. But we have to tell the truth to ourselves and in our vocabulary first, right? Rabies has this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this in the ingredients. That's true. That's true. And you can look at the ingredients, okay? And we know those ingredients have effects. That's the first. Now, we say it's a law. Okay, because I want my dog's toenails trimmed, or I want them to go to the groomer, or I want them to go to daycare. Okay, you want your dog to have fun and you want them to do this. However, that facility is going to require that you put this thing called a rabies vaccine in your dog, and that vaccine has these effects. So you have to take these steps so that maybe your brain understands it, right? It doesn't matter whether you don't think you have a choice. It doesn't matter whether you're putting your decide, you're making that choice. You're making that choice. They're not causing you to take, they're not making you take your dog to the daycare.
Right. Right. It's definitely a choice. And maybe this is an opportunity to raise some awareness at the daycare. Maybe ask if they would accept a titer test. Say, what if I brought in proof that my dog has antibodies to rabies? You know, maybe educate them that there are other options. That's another thing I said in the webinar. Go to your city, go to your county, ask them. You know, going to the city or county and saying, you know what, I don't believe viruses exist, so I don't want to give my dog a rabies shot, they'll probably just boot you out, right? That's too much. Like, we got to kind of step into this. But what if you said, hey, how about a titer? How about if I brought you a titer to at least get them thinking that maybe there's other options than just mandating the rabies shot? Because nothing's going to change, you know, if people don't take some action. If you just sit back and say, I have to, well then, and complain about the state of things, well, nothing will ever change then.
Well, it's so funny because somebody else commented, rabies exists. Based on what? What are you basing that on? What research have you done? What research have you dived into to make that statement? Right? Do you really understand Pasteur's information? Do you? You know, and most people, they'll be like, who's Pasteur? Who's Bonchamp? Right. Who are these guys? Well, right. It's called, you know, and how did the pharmaceutical industry get hijacked? Do you even know that? So you can say something exists. Is it a belief? And a belief is something that I just decided to believe that is true? Or is it factual? Is it, what is it based on? Right? And this is, it's so easy, Dr. JC, to get a narrative going.
Oh, yeah.
So you and I see it all the time. Oh, parvo in this part of the country is on the rise.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's that based on? And nobody even asks. Or there are people like you and I ask, but a lot of people don't. Oh, better go get my dog. I heard they say that they
The they.
The almighty they say that parvo's on the rise, so I better go in and get a parvo shot for my dog, you know, just to be on the safe side because I don't want him to get this boogeyman virus. In the meantime, you know, you're giving your dog all sorts of other all other diseases by giving them these vaccinations.
Why do you think, Dr. Jasek, it causes people to be so angry when you approach the virus, or the whole virus thing? I mean, why does that cause people to be so angry? Because they don't come at, if we were to say, and we do say, there have never been a virus, there has never been an isolated virus that you can actually take from a healthy person and put it into a healthy, an unhealthy supposedly person and put it into a healthy person and make them sick. Now you can say all the stuff about, well, I was in this family and I caught a cold or I caught COVID or I caught whatever, right? And we've addressed that. But what do you think it is on a fundamental level that causes people to be so angry and just shut down and not want to listen?
I don't think people like to have to change their paradigm, especially if it's a big paradigm, because that's a big one, right? And then if they believe that viruses don't exist and that all these vaccines they gave their kids and gave their animals were for nothing, they never had to do that. That might be hard information for people to accept. And you see, I look at things like when I learn something new, like maybe I change how I practice. I'm like, wow, I never knew that before. Now, when I have a case like this, I'm going to do something different. I don't look at it like, oh my God, I was wrong and sit and beat myself. I'm like, I learned something new. Maybe now I can help my patients even more with that information. But I think a lot of people, they don't want to accept that a paradigm they believed for years and years and years is wrong. I think paradigm shifts and shifts in beliefs are really, really hard. And the whole virus, I mean, so much of medicine is based on the whole virus and, you know, vaccine thing. And people would have to learn a whole new way of looking at things, you know, and learn something new and open their mind. And I don't know, it just seems like people like to stay in their comfortable little box and just keep believing what they've been believing. I like to learn new things, especially when I hear things that make sense. When I first heard the thing of viruses don't exist, I was like, oh, now come on, really?
But you hung in there.
But I'll listen to it because that's the way I am. Now, sometimes I'll listen to things that don't resonate with me and I'll listen more and I'll say, yeah, no, doesn't resonate with me. But I started listening. This was with Dr. Tom Cowan. And I started listening and listening. And then when he got, after I heard him, I had to listen to the same thing over and over again, probably half dozen times when I heard him explain how viruses are supposedly isolated and they've never actually proven it. And I'm like, you know, this is really starting to make sense. And there's other plausible explanations for why these diseases come to be. Other toxins, polio was related to DDT, and the Spanish flu was related to the telegraph wires going in. You know, there's other reasons why these things show up. And then when you say, well, why would this all be created? Well, then you follow the money. How much money is made? I mean, billions and billions, probably trillions of dollars are made now selling vaccinations. And then you start to look at things like the autism rates in kids that are going up since, you know, the 80s when they really increased the vaccine schedule. And then you start to see, okay, there's not only does this viruses don't exist is kind of starting to make sense, but then there's also a whole other agenda that's making these vaccine manufacturers a whole bunch of money. And then it starts to click like, okay, yeah, I can see where this was just all a big scam. And it's the same in the pets. It's the same companies. Zoetis is the veterinary branch of Pfizer. You know, it's all the same companies doing the same thing in pets. And you know, on the webinar, I showed these like pictures off the CDC. You go read the CDC website. They got all this information about rabies. None of it cited. Who, like anybody could have drawn these little pictures of the virus. There's a photograph of these little things that look like bullets. Who took that photo? Who isolated that? Who decided it? Who found out that it looks like bullet? It's a bullet-shaped virus. There's no referenced information on the CDC website, yet people go there and read it and just take it as gospel. And we need to stop doing that. We need to start questioning where does the information come from? You know, that was another thing that Dr. Cowan did, is he'd show pictures of supposed viruses. And then he'd show pictures of like a kidney biopsy. It looked exactly the same. You could see these same little things and supposedly normal tissue. Over here, it's a virus. Over here, it's some little part of a normal, healthy kidney cell. So yeah, I think you have to be really careful about where your information is coming from and what you believe. In these days, you have to question everything.
You know, one of the things that I love about Dr. Cowan and how they're coming at this virus thing, because basically what they're saying is this: all this talk about spike proteins, all these talks about vaccines, all these talks about everything would just go away if you get to the bottom of it, right? Which is there a virus? Now, what he and Dr. Mark Bailey are doing is they put out a call. They're out on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And they say, virologist, we welcome your videos. We welcome your research. Send them to us. And they go through this. They will go through live, and then it's recorded and you can see it, how they break apart what these virologists are saying. And they will say, okay, you say this, send me this. If this is what you are, this is the way that you're proving it, you're missing this step over here that we've already done. So would you mind sending us that? And they're saying, we will change our mind if you can send it to us. And so their whole principle is this: if you've never isolated a unicorn, you can't say that you found the hair of a unicorn if you don't have the unicorn to know if it's the hair that came from the unicorn.
Right.
So it's so interesting. And there's so few people that are really looking at the information. How many vets do you know, Dr. Jasek, that are really looking at all of the rabies information that you looked at and said, something is not right here? Who's doing that?
Yeah, none that I know of. Maybe there are some out there, but you know, vets are afraid of losing their license, you know, and all licenses are is they're handcuffs, because it puts you in the control of the licensing agency, and you have to do what they say. And it's like, you know, and I understand, you know, a young person goes to vet school, they invest a lot of money and a lot of time. Now they have this license to put on the wall. Like, oh my God, it's like gold. I remember being really excited about that. So you don't want to say anything. You don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to say anything that could risk you, you know, losing your license. But in my mind, is that enough to stop you from speaking the truth? And to me, it's not. You know, if my stage of the game, especially because I've been practicing a long time, if I got in trouble with the state board for things I say, like, to me, it's more important to speak a truth. When I feel like something's true and that it needs to get out there, that's how I sleep at night, not worrying about whether or not I'm going to lose my license. Where I find peace is in knowing that I'm telling the truth as I see it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm telling the truth. Or I could be proved wrong at some point, but if I'm telling the truth as I see it in the moment, that's what's most important to me. And to me, that's, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of why I'm here. I mean, that's just how I'm made, is to speak the truth and to be a voice for the animals. And when I see things, that's what gets me really, is that are harming the animals and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's speaking the truth about things that I know are harming the animals. The animals can't speak up. They don't have a voice. So then I feel like, well, somebody needs to be that voice. And I guess that's in, you know, some respects me. I mean, that's just something that I feel like when I have the opportunity to be a voice for the animals and help keep them from harm, then I'm going to do that.
Well, and it's not as if, Dr. Jasek, you are pulling this out of your coffee cleaned sphincter. Okay.
Right.
Okay. It's not as if you're pulling it out of there. You're actually observing these animals that are ill. Okay. Yeah. And we've got a lot of people that will back us up that have a lot of research. And I want to talk about that in a second. But I wanted to say this. I was talking to Brian yesterday, and he was listening to a podcast of the Keto Pet founder, the guy that has the Keto Pet diet, who is bringing the lawsuit mm-hmm. against the veterinarians in Tufts University for the dilated cardiomyopathy issue, mm-hmm. the scam, right? Total scam. And we mm-hmm. and they know it's a total scam because they have the Freedom of Information Act to go after all the emails and all the information that came up. So they know it was a total scam. However, this was an interesting comment that was made by the person, and I will not say who was doing the interview. But this person was saying, well, you know, you got to feel for the vets. Now, I'm paraphrasing, guys. I'm paraphrasing, and I'm getting this information from Brian, and then I'm relaying it to you. So understand that. But the gist of it was this. You can't, according to the interviewer, you can't really blame the vets because they were just doing what they know. And the Zoetis guy, I'm summarizing, was like, oh yeah, we can blame the vets. And here's why. They're the health experts. They are who people go to mm-hmm. help their pets be well. And if they are not going to really research that which they recommend, that which they do, then yeah, I'm not giving them a pass.
Right. Because they're not verifying the information. They're doing just exactly what we've been saying. They're just reading something on the CDC, or they're hearing something in a meeting, and they're not investigating it themselves. And I think that's exactly right on. They need to be verifying the information that they're passing on to their clients and making sure it's true and that it's not propaganda. I agree. Vets should be doing that.
Well, and think of how our culture is being designed and moved and propagandized today to not offend. Let's don't offend anybody. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to offend you if I don't have the same view as you, because that's just natural. People are like, oh, you don't think like I do. I'm offended. Right? Yeah. But that's a form of censorship in my mind and what I see. Oh, let's don't offend. Let's don't say anything. Like, you know, some of my pet parents who say, I have to take them to daycare and therefore I have to get them a rabies shot. I can't follow you down that chain of thinking.
Right. Right. We should have different points of view.
Right. Different people.
Why should we all be thinking the same thing? That makes for a very boring world. Whatever happened to, you know, healthy debate? Now it's like either you're right or I'm right, but we can't both be right. But you know, we can have different points of view, and that's how we learn, is discussing different points of view, respecting other people's points of view. Well, tell me, you know, more about what you think. But instead of this, well, you don't respect my point of view, so you're bad. And then there's this automatic shutdown and antagonism. Like, why can't we have discussions? That's really how we learn.
Right. I always say we're not the pet police. And most of the time, people are coming to us, Dr. Jasek, because what they're doing isn't working.
Right.
Or they wouldn't be coming to us most of the time. Now, there are the exceptions to the rules where people just say, hey, feeding processed foods to my pets doesn't make sense. Right. They just and therefore I'm going to do something different. But the majority of time that we are talking with somebody, it's because they have an itchy pet. They have a pet that has cancer. They have a pet that has pancreatitis. They have a pet that has some sort of issue. Right. Mm-hmm. And we can say, all right, there are other contributing factors, like you're adding kibble in, or you're still doing the flea and tick and heartworm, and you're doing all of these different things that are causing a reaction in the skin because it's trying to come out.
Right.
It's either coming out in the poop, or it's coming out in the skin, or it's coming out through vomit. Something's not agreeing with your dog. And I do want to touch on the Biggle, since we're going to talk about that in a second. But we now know, we've been talking about this for a long time, you're just pushing it deeper in the body. You're just causing more and more things, right? So this dog, let's say you've got an itchy dog, okay? Now what do, Dr. Jasek? You take it and you put it on Apoquil or Cytopoint to push that symptom down, right? And it's trying to come out. It comes out in different ways, maybe like the cyst, right? The interdigital cyst in the the feet. So we take another medication to address the feet problem, right? We're never addressing what the real cause is. And eventually the dog gets cancer and now dies, right? And then we say the raw diet didn't work. I think I went off there a little bit, but my point is this. We're not the pet police. If you decide that you need to give these medications, that will be your decision. And we might offend pet parents by saying, that's probably not the best route for your pet. But you get to decide. You still get to decide. We don't shut you down. We don't close the door. We don't say, you know, we'll never speak to you again, or, you know, kind of like what they did on the whole COVID thing. We're not making a mandate. We're just giving you the information. What you decide to do with it is up to you.
Right. But understand that if you do that and the dog's eating raw, and then your dog, you're on the Apoquil for the itchy skin, and then your dog gets cancer, it's not like the raw food didn't keep your dog from getting cancer. It's the fact that you're doing this other thing, driving that inflammation deeper into the body, not working on getting it resolved. That's what brought out the cancer.
Or, as we are learning and as we know, pets are amazing and they take on our stuff. Mm-hmm. So you and I are now, we've been introduced to the Biggelsons, Biggelsen. Now, for some of our pet parents, Dr. Jasek, these guys may be a little too far out there. But when you really look at the research that they've done with their father, Harvey Biggelsen, over 40, 50 years, right? It's not as if they pulled it out of their coffee-clean sphincter, okay? What these guys do is they read blood. Now, I'm just going to kind of go there. But one of the things that they talk about with pets, they were talking about, why are pets getting cancer, right? And they're relaying it to what they see in their cancer research, right? So not all cancer is brought on by just the diet or just the toxins, but also our energy and the way that we think and the way that we don't express feelings, or the way that we dam up the body. And one of the comments was, dogs take on our stuff, right? And I've heard this from Dr. Andy. I've heard it from you. I see it in the correlation with the pets I've had, or even Amanda, our daughter, who's a vet, who says, I know that this pet's going to be a mess because the pet parents are a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about dogs taking on the energy or the anxiety or the stuff of the parents? What do you see?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I can tell. And I can tell, like, when I first start working with a new cancer patient, just based on the personality of the person, if people are like locked into fear or locked into guilt, and I get it, you know, we have our emotions, and I think it's important to not stuff our emotions, but you don't want to stay stuck in toxic emotions. So if you're afraid of something, sure, say like, wow, I'm afraid of this. Acknowledge it, but then you gotta move on. You don't want to stay there because your pets will feel that energy. If you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid my pet's gonna die. And I get it, we don't want our pets to die. None of us do. But if you stay in that fear, your pet's gonna pick that up and they're gonna be afraid. And fear's a toxic emotion. Anger's a toxic emotion. If you're angry because, you know, your vet recommended these vaccines and now you've been told that these vaccines gave your pet cancer and you stay in that anger, that's also a very toxic emotion related to the liver. Very interesting. I wonder how many of our elevated liver enzyme pets,
Ooh.
there's a anger emotion there. Your pets will take on your emotion. And I actually heard Adam Bigelson say, he says that the increase in cancer in dogs is because the dogs are keeping the people from getting cancer.
Hey, stay tuned tomorrow for our second half of this enlightening discussion with myself and Dr. Jasek on how you can help keep yourself and your pets healthy. See you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.